Welcome to Kingdom Perspective Broadcast, the teaching ministry of Dr. David Ogaga. We believe that this message is going to open up the seals and cause you to have a deeper revelation into the Word of God that will make you see beyond the letters in the Word. Here is Dr. David.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, so we want to continue with what the Lord is giving to us to share. And something I think you have to begin to understand, I am not somebody who preach for seasons in terms of changing what I have for you because of certain things or because of certain people. I speak what I feel God has for you a particular time. And this word is really having effects in people's life, getting a lot of testimonies coming to me as this word goes out. It's a word that have to bring changes to your life, just like we've just sang in that hymn of ancient world. So again, we have why are you here? This is part number 4. Why are you here? Why are you existing? Why did you come here at all? I cannot overemphasize the fact that you've been a spirit being before you came down here. I can't overemphasize that. Okay, our text again is Isaiah 49 verse number 1. Isaiah 49 verse number 1. Listen, O eyes, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord has called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mothers, hath he made mention of my name. And I told you the word name is the word Shem. Shem means the idea of definite and conspicuous position. And I keep saying that every one of you, it's got a position that God has ordained for you in life. You see, you can't define the world destination without destiny. Your destiny is your destination. And in arriving at your destination is your success. Success is not necessarily the properties and the volumes of stuff that you have. Because there's a purpose why God sent you here. So in arriving at that purpose, which is your destination, that's what success really means. Hallelujah. In unveiling that aspect of God that he has for you to creation, that's what success really means. Paul will tell you, like we read the other time, I finished my course. How many of you remember that? And so a crown of righteousness laid upon me. But there's something you need to understand. When he said I finished my course, there was something very specific that God has for him when he said he finished his course. That means he arrived at his destination. Now, Paul was not a billionaire. He will tell you, though poor, but making many rich. So why would such a man be a successful man? But that's exactly what the scripture says. Because he got to the point of his destination. He finished his course. Therefore, he was a successful man. If you go to the background of Paul in the true sense, he was from a very wealthy family. Trained lawyer, for that matter. He was a trained professional lawyer. a wealthy home, a Roman citizen for that matter. Is that okay? But everything he abandoned for the gospel and became successful. Now, all of those things that he had before he became a preacher are not termed success in his life, because he came here with a goal. I'll show you part of the scripture that I have to mention that. But I'm trying to make you see this. A definite and considerable position is what that word name means. And that means there is something very specific for your life that God has ordained you for before you came here. Hallelujah. A mark of memorial individuality by implication, honor, authority, and character. That's what I told you what the word name really means. Amen. And so every one of you is called by a name. And in your discovery of that name is what takes you to the fulfillment of your goal. And I'll make you see that. It's not all about being a preacher. I'm going to give you an example of people today again. Two at least. Christian, Presbyterian, Christian, devoted ones, and their discovery for the help of mankind. So it's not about being a preacher. You don't necessarily have to fulfill destiny for being a preacher. That's not what makes you fulfillment of your prophetic destiny. It's beyond that. Look at John chapter 5 verse 22. Sorry, 26. John 5, 26 and 27. For as the Father had life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself. Look at the next verse. And I'll give him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Now I want you to look at this. Why is Christ able to judge? Because he's the Son of Man. No, because he's the Son of God. Because in the original intent of God, God intends man to have dominion over everything. So their ability to rule the earth is given to man. And so God, in a large extent, does not interfere with what happens on the face of the earth. By implication, he gives that to man to take charge of. This may be her statement. Otherwise, the question would be, why was he going to look for intercessors? Because in the book of Ezekiel, we say, I sought for a man, but I could find none. He's given the rulership and dominion, which is not the jurisdiction of man, to man. And so for Christ to be able to have that authority to judge, he has to become a man. He can't judge being a spirit. He can't judge being an angel. He has to become a man. As a matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 6, the Bible tells you that even the saints of God who are men are going to judge angels. Have you read that in your Bible? 1 Corinthians 6. Praise God. Now, I'm reading this to tell you that you are here as a man to execute certain graces and abilities that God has deposited in your life, because you are a man. Hallelujah. Some of you could just be professional market people, excelling in that field that God has given to you to excel in. He has to judge because he's a man, not because an angel, not because Son of God. He didn't say he has given the judgment to the Son of God. No, he gave it to who? Son of Man. If he hadn't become a man, he can't judge. You got implication. So he's coming down, he's to be able to function as a judge in this capacity. He could do that because he's a man. That means there are certain attributes in your life as a man in God that God expects you to execute. From the one before you came here, it deposited some things in your life. Hallelujah. And the excess of this man for those things to come out. I just want to pull out the things that are in your life so that you can live out the life that God really has for you. Amen. Let me show you something. Isaiah 42 verse number 6. Isaiah 42 verse number 6. Praise God. I, the Lord, have called thee righteousness, and will hold a hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. A light of the Gentiles. Now, I told you last week, John was speaking and he said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, and it's quoted from Isaiah chapter 40. I'm not firming by that. Okay, so let's quickly look at this now. Keep this and go to Acts chapter 26, verse 23. Praise God. Acts 26, 23, the Bible says that Christ should suffer and that he should be the force that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. So you can see here, we read last week when in Hebrews chapter 10, he said in the volume of the book, it's written about me. Yeah, you see that he's quoting from Isaiah, what is that, 42, and he's describing the ministry of Jesus. By implication, why did he come? He came in so that he would show light unto the people and to do what? Light unto the Gentiles. So the ultimate goal is God sent him here to be a light unto the people and to the Gentiles. The people here speak about Israel now. Is that okay? Good. Understand the goal. Understand why he came. Understand what role he was supposed to play. And so when he came, he said, I am the light of the world. Understand the context. The one now speaking about the Jews and Gentiles. I'm the light to the people. Okay, you say, why not Jesus Christ? Let me show you something now. Isaiah 49, verse number 6. 49, verse number 6, book of Isaiah. And he says, is it a lighting that thou should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserve of Israel? I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. You say, well, this is talking about Jesus. Okay, I'm going to show you something. Acts 13, go with me. Acts 13, verse 45. Acts 13, verse 45. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. Now, talking about Paul now, preaching, and people begin to believe him. And speak again those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it off from you and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we return to the Gentiles. For said he, the Lord commanded us, saying, I will set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that that should be for salvation unto the end of the end. Did you get that? So, that which seems to have been what was describing Jesus, Paul took to himself and said, this is what the scripture is saying. This is the fulfillment of the scripture you find in Isaiah 46. And so, when you now read Romans 11 verse 13, he now said, for I speak to you Gentiles, insomuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I do what? I magnify my office. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Jesus came and said, I'm a light to the people and the Gentiles. Paul speaking said, God has said, I'm sending you as a light. So you are here for a purpose. That's what I'm saying. You are here for a definite assignment. And you are here to fulfill scriptures, if you will. Praise God. Are you done with me? I need you to understand what I'm saying in this series, so that the very you that is in you will stand up. Because there's a you that's in you, and it's latent. It's not working, it's not functioning, because you don't understand it. You know, in the book of Song of Solomon, the Bible says, I am, say, don't look at me that way, because I'm so black and whatever it is. Why? Because I've been laboring under the sun in another man's field. When you walk where you're not supposed to walk, it goes with sweat and it goes with labor, and much doesn't come to you in that regard. So you should be where God really intends you to be. That is where the blessings of the Lord, he added no sorrow. What that means is, you don't sweat to get. Hallelujah. Are you there with me? Okay. So now, like I was trying to make you understand, I'm not talking about preaching alone, as far as this series is concerned. And it's important you understand that. So go with me to Colossians 3 verse number 17. Colossians 3 verse number 17. And whatsoever you do in words, do all in the name of the Lord. In words or deed. In words or deed. I want you to get that. Whatever you do, what? In words or deed. In words or deed. Whatever you do. So it could be your trade. It could be your profession. It could be your occupation. Whatever you do. Hallelujah. Do all what? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Whatever you do, I want you to get the emphasis. So, are you a bricklayer? Whatever you do. Are you a furniture man, carpenter? Whatever you do. Are you a graphic designer? Whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord. You could be fulfilling your purpose in the whatsoever. It's not to do with, you got to carry the Bible, you got to be a preacher. No! That is not what makes you fulfill destiny. Destiny is not only in the fight for ministry. Hallelujah. Let me show you something in Acts chapter 7, verse 21. I saw in the life of Moses when he was finally picked up into the house of Pharaoh of Egypt by the daughter. He grew up there, remember, 40 years. And that is why you should, if you look at the account of this young man, you should develop yourself. Especially young people. Develop yourself. Study. Look at it. Let me read this. And when Moses was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him and nourished him for her own son. Sorry. Verse 22. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of Egyptians. I was mighty in words and in deeds. This is very important. You may have been reading this without giving consideration to it. Hallelujah. I mentioned just now that Paul was a professional lawyer. He was a Pharisee. Is that okay? Right. He learned to trade. He was raised up by his father professionally before he became a preacher. I I'm beginning to think that one of the major problems why we don't have the right people interpreting the scripture with the mind of God, clear revelation from God, and because they don't have foundational training in the secular world. Praise God. In all the wisdom of the Egyptians, at that time we're talking about, they were the most intelligent and best instructed people in the whole universe. How many of you have read about the pyramids of Egypt? The mummy finds and all of those things. They were the most intelligent people in the whole universe. God deliberately took his servant there to be trained in the things of this world. It's on record that Moses was taught arithmetic, geometry, poetry, music, medicine, and the knowledge of hieroglyphics. He studied all of those things. Music, medicine, geometry, poetry, arithmetic. Moses got all of that. Are you surprised, therefore, when God began to give him the dimension of the ark? Of the temple. The measurement. It was not a problem for Moses. Why? He understood all of those things. Hallelujah. So I'm trying to make you understand that whatever thing you are doing now is not a waste. It could be a foundation to what God has in mind for you. So keep at it. Do it with all your heart. That's why just whatever thing you do, do it in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So there's a common saying then, that the 10 portions of wisdom which came into the world, the Egyptian had 9 and the rest of the world had 1. They were the most intelligent people, and God took his son there to be trained for 40 years and then he brought him out. He could understand dimensions. He could understand sound. Whatever you are doing now, it's not a waste. Do it all in the name of the Lord. That's what's important. So I'm not talking about who are you in relation to you becoming a preacher tomorrow. No. That's not what I'm saying. The essence results in this life, God have deposited some things in your life that you can't wait here to use it for the good of mankind. And you must bring it out. Like I keep saying, how about leaving this world better than you met it? How about leaving a legacy behind? Even in the scriptures, like in 1 Kings chapter 4 verse 30, the wisdom of the Egyptian was mentioned. Bible says, 1 Kings 4:30, Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east, country of the east, and all the wisdom of Egypt. That means Egypt was full of wisdom. Hallelujah. And so God took his son there to be trained, to prepare him for the things that he intended him to do ultimately. He took Peter, was a professional fisherman, and made him fishers of men. Are you getting that? And there's a name. What's the name? The profession. So what's your profession? And how are you using it? Or how do you intend to use it for the benefit of mankind? That's where your destiny is. That's what the fulfillment of your destiny is. It's not for you. It's for mankind, especially the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Just like he said, Paul, I'm being sent as a light to the people and to the Gentiles for their salvation. You begin to wonder, was Paul sent here for the salvation of mankind or Jesus Christ? Go back and look at that statement again. You understand. And that's why the Bible says in Obadiah 21, Savior shall arrive out of where? Mount Zion. You are supposed to be a savior to somebody. By reason of what you carry, by reason of what's on your inside, the ability God has deposited in your life, you are supposed to be a savior to somebody. As we release the light of God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Last week I told you about some Christian scientists that I personally envied. If you want to look at modern chemistry today, the father of modern chemistry, if you will, is Robert Boyle, and he's a Christian. Discovery of chemistry. You see, I was sharing it with my wife yesterday. When I look at what Christianity is today, when I look at what we do, I told her, if it was something I registered as a member, I would have resigned my membership. Because I would have just said, I'm no longer a member, please take back your card. Because, see, we are going nowhere. We are doing, listen. Do you know right now in China, they have the proposed what is called OTEC, which is a thermal energy conversion project, which is meant to harness the power of the ocean's thermal energy to generate electricity from the ocean, presently in China. What do we do as Christians? Bury our head every day between our knees, crying and praying for what is not lost. This is January now. What's going to happen? You're going to fast for 40 days. Tell me what you're fasting for. Every year you do 40 days fast. What have you gotten out of that 40 days fast that you've been doing? Because you're not using your brain. All you ever think about the devil killing you, which is killing you. You don't know anything more than that. They teach you anything, it's about devils. Everything. And Paul will say, I desire to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him what? Crucified. I don't want to know anything about you. I don't want to hear all of those nonsense. Devil killing you, Satan killing you, witches killing you. That's African Christianity. Look at China. Look at what they are doing now. Look at what they have proposed. The project is still in the planning stage. But they have potential to be a major source of renewable energy as far as China is concerned. And even India as well. India, you have the same thing coming up. Praise the living God. Where do we belong to? Look at my country. Where are we right now? Where are we? Economy is dying. Everything is going haywire. We can't get solutions to anything. But we have Christians. We have Christians. Hallelujah. I don't know how you feel about this. I don't know how you feel about this. But for me, it's very challenging. Very challenging. I don't read the Bible like, you know, something else. It's supposed to be applicable. It's supposed to be something you live your life with on a daily basis. It's supposed to open you up to the things that you have never seen before. Look at the book of Jeremiah 33, verse number 3. Read it. Let me show you something there. While I move on. Jeremiah 33, verse number 3. Hallelujah. Call upon me, and I will answer thee. I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. The things you don't know, I'm supposed to reveal them to you. Not devils. You ought to know some things about your life. You ought to know some things about where you are going to. You ought to know some things about your future. deep things that no man can reveal to you. They are the things you get when you pray. You spend 40 days praying for devils, 40 days praying for all kind of nonsense. The Indian, the Chinese people we're talking about now, they are not even praying the way you pray. But yet they are changing their environment and making life more comfortable. Praise God. Those days when China started, what was said? Down in China. Anything you see China means is of low quality. But where is the market today? Where are you today? You can hardly buy anything today that is not from China. The low quality, they have been improved, and that's what they are going for. They are even loaning your country money. But you spend all your time praying and you don't get answer. That means you are not praying right. You're not praying according to the will of God to reveal His mind to you, to know what to do, to make life more comfortable, to dominate your environment. I told you last week, the man that designed air conditioning, what is that supposed to mean? Even this microphone I'm using now, I'm sure this could be from China too. What is the excess of microphone? To amplify the voice of the speaker. The man that is speaking, just I'm talking now. Somebody make it comfortable for you to hear me very loudly and clearly. He wasn't praying the way you pray. Until you come to be able to provide solution to people's problem, you have amounted to nothing as far as life is concerned. You are not fulfilling destiny. You like join them and spend your 40 days in fasting and prayer. You come back and meet me here. With your head, nothing has entered. You're just time wasting. You're wasting time and energy. Get focused. When you go to pray, ask God relevant questions about your life and what you are here for. Praise God. I don't know. Somebody said, do you like Christianity? I like being a Christ-like person, not religion. Because what we practice in is not about religion. Religion kills. Religion can make you determine who you are. It can show you who you are. Religion kills. Why are the Muslims killing people? Because they are religious people. Religion tells them what they are not supposed to be. You kill, you go to paradise, you get seven women, blah, 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 all those kind of things. Religion, and it enters into your head, and you start killing people. Religion kills. Not Christianity, which is actually kingdom of God. The true life is a kingdom community, which is God's kingdom. The life of the king in his people. To know what he has in mind. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. As it is done where? In heaven. Let it come. Let there be a revelation of God's kingdom in our life through you and I. And make this earth better than the way we met it. Don't leave this earth if you can't change people's life. Hallelujah. I know of Alexander Graham Bell. Alexander Graham Bell. How many of you have heard about that man? He was a Scottish-American scientist who is best known for inventing the telephone. The telephone you are using today is cell phone. The first man that developed it was a Christian. Alexander Graham Bell. He was a devout Presbyterian who saw the work he was doing to bring people closer together and to spread the gospel. He also founded the Volta Laboratory, which conducted important research in the field of aeronautics, communication, and medicine. Bell was also a strong advocate for the deaf community and developed visible speech system to help deaf people communicate. A Christian. He looked at the deaf community. What am I going to do so that deaf people can be able to do what? Communicate. He found an answer to that. A Christian. What do you spend your time on? Envy, jealousy, backbiting, gossiping. You can discover anything. You're using telephone today. A Christian developed that telephone system you are using. And he said, I want people to come closer through that medium. We can spread the gospel. That's how he developed telephone. Not this one you use to gossip. Telephone was not meant for gossip. The man that designed it originally did that so that he can communicate what? The gospel. It's not meant for gossip. But I'm talking of a Christian. What are you going to leave behind? What legacy will you leave behind? When you leave this earth, what are you leaving behind? That's the question. What are we going to remember you by? What will the generation to come remember you by? That you once lived. What will they remember you by? So now you understand why the telephone was designed. Bring people closer. To be able to spread the gospel. And then he looked at the aeronautic communication. He was going to the moon and back. He developed that. He looked at the deaf community. What can I do to get people get closer to understand themselves better? He developed the system where the deaf can be able to communicate. What do you have to offer the world? You are not here by accident. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. What about Joseph Lister? Have you heard about antiseptics? Those of you in the medical world. Antiseptics. Okay. Especially in surgery. He was the founder of that. I was a Christian. He was a devoted Quaker. A body of believer, like you have the Presbyterian where Graham Bell was. This guy was a Quaker. The Quaker actually believed in the power of the Holy Spirit. So when they come to fellowship, they just sit around and they just don't believe and watch. And then the next thing, the vibration comes, everybody will start quaking. You understand that? That's what they call them, the Quaker. They believe in what the Holy Spirit could do, like it happened on the day of Pentecost in the upper room. That's why they call them Quaker. John Lisa was a Quaker. He discovered the antiseptic that they use today in surgeries. A Christian. Praise God. All them. He felt that what he was doing medically was to bring glory to God. In his antiseptic discovery, he said, it's a gift from God. And why is it not a gift from God? And why is it not part of what you think about that? When operations to take place today, they have to come in with this antiseptic. In the case of surgery, life is being saved because one man discovered it. All we know how to do is to dance and shout and curse and cry and call devils and call witches and wizards. We don't see nothing. The science in you is dying. The engineering in your life is dying. Because religion has taken away your mind. That your mind is not working anymore. You end up tomorrow being buried with all these graces in your life that God has given to you to be one of the most fantastic engineers in your generation. All of those things, they go to the grave. Because you have been prepared for heaven, 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 heaven. So that you get mansion when you get up to heaven. You die with the engineering ingenuity in your life. You die with these medical abilities in your life. Young ones, listen, this is a wake-up call for you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Praise God. He was a known ethical man, compassionate in his medical practice, talking of John Lister, which he saw as a way of serving God and helping humanity. So John Lister, committed Christian, viewed his work as a way of fulfilling his faith. And that's the truth. I can go on and give you a list of people. I can take my time to go into this and say, I just need to find out. Do we really have some Christians who lived? It's not just about those who preach the gospel. People don't talk about these people because they think, oh, the only man that have ever lived is the man that preached the gospel. What a man that discovered the instrument that the preacher is using. We've turned to the people, you know, I get angry. I used to be a good footballer in those days, and then I love football. In fact, when football is going on, that's what I read this morning, I love football more than my necessary food. You know, it used to happen that way. If you give me food, I will eat it until the match is over. And then we have no television. We're using only radio, just like Aboki people. You know what I mean? Yeah. I put the radio like Aboki man on my ear. You give me food, I will take it. I'm just there listening to the match, all of those things. Do you understand what I'm saying? Good. Now, we don't see what I'm trying to make you understand is this. When, you know, what I just tried to say now is this. You see these footballers. One of the things that pains me is this. When they score the goal, they praise the guy that scored the goal. The best scorer. If the man at the back of the post have not kept the post there, have not passed the ball to you, could you score the goal? But nobody talks about the man at the back. The number two or number three man. The center, defense system. Nobody talks about that. It's only the man that scored the goal. Cheating. Because they're teamwork. So if there's any prize, it should be given to the team. Not for one man who ran to the front. He didn't even touch the ball. He ran to the front. And when we brought the ball from the back, give it to you, you scored the ball there and say the best score of the year. Nonsense. That's the same thing we do. We think the man that is preaching the gospel, that's the only man that is doing the work. What a man that manufactured the instrument you are using as a preacher. What a man that made the Bible, that made the Bible available, that bind the Bible, the printer. Nobody talks about that. And so your mind is not on the fact of what you can do. It's on, oh, I wish God can call me to be a preacher. No. You don't need that. You don't need that. The Bible you are using. Okay, now, everybody is using a tablet, using the phone. Bible apps and all that. Is anybody following what I'm talking about? And you think that man is not doing anything? It's me that is preaching from the app that is more relevant. You deceive yourself. This is why you are not thinking. This is why you are not using your head. But you see people developing different apps of the Bible tomorrow. I mean, every now and then, different app is coming up that you can conveniently use on your tablets. These guys are doing great jobs. They are fulfilling destiny. And they don't pray like you pray. Somebody say, are you against prayer? I never told you that. You know I pray too. My family knows I pray. But what I'm telling you is this. You don't go to prayer because of what you can get from God in terms of, you understand what I'm saying? Me, God bless me. And then any devil that is standing on my way, I curse you. Any witch that is flying this night, I bring you down. The other day somebody was saying, in the night, around 1 a.m., 2 a.m., that's when you should pray. That's when witches are flying. Are you a witch? Except you've joined them before. How do you know that's your timetable? So we have a lot of occultic preachers because they be part of the system. You anybody follow what I'm saying? I used to say this jokingly. You know, the scripture tells us that, you know, the enemy will come breaking in the night. When the thieves really come to your homes, they come in the night. Am I right? Okay. Now, when do you think the thieves come to discover the soft spot in your building in the afternoon time? They come take a look around, look at the windows, they walk around your building, look at the soft spots. You understand what I'm saying? Then in the night, they target the soft spot to come and break into your houses. So when are you supposed to confuse them? In the daytime, so that in the night they cannot find your house. Now you reserve it in the night before you begin to do that, and you call it warfare. Rubbish. You are already being cheated. For allowing them to come and spy your building alone in the daytime, that matter has ended. You finish yourself. Because in the night you can't resist them. You'll be sleeping. In fact, I can make you sleep like you never slept before, so that it can break into your homes. So when is the best time to attack the witches and wizards, if you have to, is it the daytime? You confuse them so that in the night they can't recognize your house. Is anybody understanding me? Praise the living God. You see, the only reasons we can do all night is because so many of us are too busy in the daytime. We can come together in the daytime. So, okay, let's take a date in the night to come and pray. That's all. Not because you want to attack witches in the night. That is low way of thinking. Listen to me. If you're a true child of God, a witch sees you, he's going to be afraid of you. The devil is supposed to be afraid of you. You have to start binding. When witches see you, they should give way. They should give way. Looking at you like this, they should don't look and say, hey, they call me. Then they start finding their level. Jesus walking in the cemetery, see somebody there with all manner of demons in the light, and he cried out, Son of man, have you come to destroy her when it is not yet time? Jesus haven't even said anything. And then you say, well, Christ-like, and you're afraid of witches. Think about your life. There is something in you. I want to repeat, there is something in your life. The brother is not here, but let me give you this last example, and then I'm going to stop. In this house, how many years ago now? Let's say about 7 years ago, one of our brothers, his cousin took him to a shrine that he wanted to go and consult the shrine. In this house, not talking about what I read in the Bible or newspaper, in this house. And then they went to the shrine. By the time they got to the man, the priest on the shrine just saw this guy and said, hey, you, don't enter here. He said, why? He said, you can come, but you don't come in here. He said, why? He said, there is something in you that if you enter here, it will spoil my work. I'm talking of what happened in this house, KDCC. Say, don't enter the shrine, because what is in you will destroy what's here. Stay outside there. Your brother can come in. The brother went in. They did all whatever they did. And from the gate, he came back. He came back to the office and told me, now I know the things you are saying are true. This house. You don't know what you carry. You don't know what's on your inside. Every little thing, they have come again. Every little thing, you know. Even if you see a mountain in the night, you start looking at you, being the one they say, come be this. Something's wrong with you. You don't know who you are. You don't know who you are. I know what the worst part of it is. The same Christian I would say, greater is in you that is in the wall. But when they see the one in the wall, they are afraid. They can't remember the greater anymore. So, it's just mental asset. You are not believing what you are saying. You are not understanding what you are saying. May the word of God become more necessary food than anything this year for you, in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm challenging that thing that's in your life. I want you to come out. I need some young ones. I need some scientists in this house. I need some good lawyers in this house. I need professional people who can bring some design, make the atmosphere comfortable. That's what I'm looking for. Some flake people called Christians that have nothing to offer life. Just walk around looking confused all the time. Call you for prayer, they have nothing to offer you. Nothing. You just go there, spend all your time. I was in a video somebody sent to me, I can't remember. It was a crossover, preparing for crossover. I don't know whether end of year service. Nothing. This year you are going to do that. Amen. You are going to do this. Amen. He said, okay, sow seed. According to your amen, that's how you sow the seed. Service has closed. Nothing to offer. Nothing to discover who you are. How long are you going to continue with that? I don't want to be part of that kind of Christian community. I don't want to be part of this African traditional community. I don't want to be part of that. I need your life to wake up. I need the man you to stand up. Hallelujah. Bible says, arise, arise, arise me, stand up. Arise me, don't sit down. Arise me, let the man in you arise. Or your light is come. And it's upon your life. Praise God. Are you listening to what I'm saying? See, I wish I can really get across to you what I have in mind in this series. So that you don't waste your life living how many years on this earth. I wrote something recently in the book, Facebook. Life is not about duration, but donation. Did anybody see that? Life is not about duration, but donation. It's what you can give. It's not how long you live. Some of you want to, I'm 75 years old, and by day, next by day, 80 years old. The question is, what have you left behind? What are we going to remember you by with all these years you spend? You are like Methuselah. Methuselah spent how many years on his earth? Enoch came and broke the record. For how many years? Hallelujah. I need to see some people. Raise up children. Raise up fellow people. Sponsor people. Use your money to help humanity. Don't sit down there praying for nothing that is not happening. You are a free man. He whom the Lord set free is free indeed. Can I hear an amen? You know what the African mindset tells you? He said, but Pastor, that the things they happen, oh. He said, the people there, oh, something's wrong with you. Now, you be the real people, not those people. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying here? You are the one that carries power. Those people have no power. Pretentious people. They don't have power. They are trying to imitate the real power, but the power is in you. Hallelujah. You are the one that carries power, not those people you are afraid of. No. They got no power. You got the real power. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying here? I need your life to change. I need your life to come to the place of fulfillment. I want you to call to your place of prophetic destiny. There is something God has for you, why he sent you here. And he said, go and execute this. There's a plan, and you got to do that. So if you are here as an engineer, man, wake up that spirit of ingenuity in your life and fulfill prophetic purposes. Let's see some design. Let's see some things come out that we never seen before. If you are an architect, let's see some building structure that men have never seen before so that people can pay you good money for your designs. Praise God. Religion is going to die in this house. Do you understand what I'm saying? Everything about religion is dying in this house. We are going to be continuously be kingdom people with light and life for the salvation of humanity. Kingdom people. I don't care how many people are going to be here. I just want the people that can understand what I'm saying and raised up from the level they are to another level. Money is going to come to you. You're going to use it for God's kingdom. Listen to me. You have money. Whether you have 5 children or 3 children, if you have good money, take a fellow brother in the fellowship and give scholarship. Give scholarship to people. What is money for? Give scholarship to people. Train people. Do something. What is money for? I'll show that next week. Book of Isaiah. God speaking to Cyrus saying, you don't know me. So, but I'm going to give you treasures of darkness for the sake of my people, Israel. So money is for the body of Christ. Money is for humanity. You call yourself billionaire and you don't help nobody. You are mad to nothing. If God was to stock all that he had, you wouldn't be a saved man. But what he has, he gave. Take some people. Get scholarship. Do good to people. Bless humanity. If God has blessed you with money, don't be stingy. No, that is not God's life. He didn't give. You are not the only one that is doing business. So much so that you are the only one that is successful in the way you are. No, not because you have better wisdom than other people. It's just time and chance that happen to people. So take advantage of your position and bless other people who have not come up to your level. Amen. Hallelujah. Am I helping anybody? I'm going to say, why are you here? That's what I'm saying. You are here to fulfill prophetic destiny. And you are here to fulfill specific act of the scriptures. And I'm saying, it is not that you have to be a preacher to fulfill destiny. Is that okay? You are here with specific assignment on your life. I just told you about John Lister. I just told you about Alexander Graham Bell, who discovered the telephone. These were Christians, and we still use their legacies today. We're still talking about life, making communication because somebody sat down. Whether he prayed, I don't know. Whatever it is, but because he has the heart of God. I want something that can bring people together. I want something that can make the deaf communicate. I want something. Is anybody following what I'm saying? Like I made the gospel go forward. I need that God. That he was praying heaven to come down. He was praying the will of God to be done. And God revealed this to him. He could design the telephone. What are you going to design for us? No, tell me. What are you going to give to us before you leave? Man, you can't leave this world without giving us something. I'm charging you today. You can't leave this earth without giving us something. Can I hear an amen to that? Stand up. I just need to talk to God. You see, I see no devil stopping you from achieving your goal this year. No devil. No devil. Hallelujah. No devil is stopping you. No devil is stopping you. No devil. In any manner, whatever it is. No. No matter what name I've been given to it. No devil is stopping you from fulfilling your destiny. You are getting to a place of prophetic destiny. I just need you to begin to talk to God and say, God, help me. 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 I need to be my real me. Just talk to your Father. God, help me. Talk to your Father. Yeah, I just want to be my real me. Talk to your Father. Discover what's in you. Young ones, discover what's in you early enough. And don't allow the religious of your people blind you. No Christ. No Christ. And discover your real you. No Christ and discover your real you. Don't allow religion to subdue you. Religion is dying in this house. We want to be kingdom people. Hakapa Shahara. Bring Sokapa Rokrupa Sata. Just talk to your Father. The change must come. Kambra Sotahaya. The change must come. What are you going to leave behind for this world? What are you leaving behind? Kambara Prosahaya. What are you leaving behind? Kira Bosopa Prosahaya. There is something on your inside, and the devil don't even know anything about it. Hike kuntaraba. The devil doesn't even know what's on your inside. It's hidden. It's between you and your God. Some people will tell you, oh, the devil has closed your star. Who showed them your star? Who showed them your star? Kapa yasa. Brain soko poto. Who showed them your star? How did you open your star to them? Oh, one wish is trying to cover your star. It's a lie. Your star is given by God, and only God can cause you to shine. So I say, arise, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon your life. No power can stop you. No devil can stop you. You are hitting your target. You are moving forward. You are transforming life. You are transforming your society. Men shall look for you because of what is on your inside. Your name is being pronounced.
You are going to sit in your position. You are occupying your space. No man can challenge that. No man can take that from you. You are occupying your space. Your throne is given to you by God alone. Your position has been established by God alone. No power, no man can dethrone you. You cannot be dethroned. Not even in 2024. You can't be dethroned in the name of Jesus. The wind of good things blow into your life right now. Wind of success blow into your life right now. Wind of understanding blow into your life right now. Wind of healing blow into your life right now. In the name of Jesus, we dispel ignorance from this house. We dispel foolishness from this house. We dispel stupidity from this house. And we arise as a people of strength, as a people of power, as a people of glory, as a people with a voice, as a people with a goal, as a people with a vision. We arise. Hallelujah. Thank you, my dear Father. Thank you, my dear Father. Jesus is Lord. He will be Lord all the time. Lord yesterday, Lord today, Lord forever. And we are in Him. We become part of Him. For the kingdoms of this world are becoming the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ. And we are in that system. We are to rule and reign. We take back our dominion. We take back our authority. We take back our spirit that the enemy has deceived us from. We take back our rights. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. You know why we are changing things in this house? Because church, which is religion, gathers people together. But in the kingdom, we appeal our right. In church, you don't know your right. But in kingdom, you know your right. Because you are a citizen. Church is just fellowship. People just fellowshipping. But we're going beyond church. We're coming to the place of true citizenship. And every citizen has a right. Your right shall be made exposed to you. God will begin to communicate some things to you from today. Wife came this morning and said, God gave her a song. She sang the song. I woke up singing it and we sang it together. Yes, prophetically, God is speaking some words that no man can take away from you. May God begin to give you songs in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I see the oil beam tree. Some of you don't know the oil beam tree, but the oil beam tree, when it gets to a place, it explodes. And when it explodes, it sends the seed away from the tree. The seed goes out far away from the tree trunk, and other oil beams begin to spring up from the other side. Hakabaya. Yes, that which is in you is about being exploded. There's an extension of light coming out of you. You are going to reach out to different boundaries. You are spreading like Joseph in Egypt. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, my dear Father. And one thing about the oil beam tree is that it grows so heavy, so big. No power will be able to stunt your growth this year. No power will limit you this year. In the name of Jesus Christ, be ready for progress. Be ready for advancement. Be ready to push beyond walls. No obstacles on your way. We pull down every obstacle. We pull down every wall. Move on, people of God. Move on, child of God. No obstruction on our way.
The light is falling to you in pleasant places. You have a godly heritage. Hallelujah! Praise God. Praise God, somebody. Thank you, my Father. Come on, give a thanks to the Father.
Thank you for listening to Dr. David Ogaga. We know you have been blessed by this station. You can share this message with your friends and loved ones. For more information, inquiries, and free downloads, please visit www.davidogaga.org. God bless you.